This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alim al-hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma wa arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ahu wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabahu wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi 'ibadika as-salihin. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody, and welcome to part 5 of our halqa series, Be Mindful of Allah, an explanation of the advice the Prophet ﷺ gave to Ibn Abbas. And we're taking this from the book. What's the name of the book? Nur al-Iqtibas. I said Nur al-Iqtibas fi Mishkati Wasiyat al-Nabi Ibn Abbas. Jameel. Type. So, as usual, we start with our review, inshallah. So, last week, we talked about the part of the hadith, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. So, I kind of gave you the answer. So, when we want to ask for something, who should we ask first? تفضل حاج. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the things that we learned last time from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that we ask Allah, and it's easier said than done. Yani, is this something that we have to get ourselves used to? Yani, that we always think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first when we are in need. I got candy, don't worry. That's why he was so eager. Number two, what is the relationship between dua and worship? So last week we talked about al-dua and al-ibadah. What's the connection between them? It was a hadith, and then there was an ayah right in the hadith. It's a very short hadith, like one of the shortest hadith you can memorize in your life. What's the relationship between dua and worship? And actually the hadith says, الدُعَاء هو العبادة, right? Another hadith, it's a bit weaker. الدُعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَة, right? So الدُعَاء is عِبَادَة. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the ayah, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي. So he switched the word dua with ibadah, meaning that one of the main things, one of the main acts of ibadah is dua, like supplication. Jameel jiddan. طيب. We talked about al-isti'ana. He said to Ibn Abbas, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. We say this word like every day, like 17 times. Okay, everybody here says that 17 times. If you're praying your 5 daily prayers. So what does it mean, al-isti'ana? By the way, this is like, I'm going to put in like an ad. So next week, inshallah, in downtown, we'll be doing a tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha in the downtown masjid, inshallah. I believe 6:30 p.m., inshallah. So we'll be doing a whole tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And there'll also be some refreshments, inshallah. So back to... Now that the ad is done. So what is al-isti'ana? Naam? Who wants to put their hand up? Give it a try. Let's try someone else. Fadal. Guidance. That's hidayah. Al-isti'ana. We say, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. So al-isti'ana is to ask for help. Naam. So iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Inshallah, the candy's coming. Don't worry. Lots of chances. So al-isti'ana is help, right? And we said that the difference between because he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلْ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. And if you want to seek help, you seek help from Allah, right? And we said al-isti'ana is when you need assistance in something. And we give the example of the person who has a flat tire, right? Right? He asks someone for help, but he's part of the procedure, and he doesn't just sit down and do anything. You don't just say, yeah, Allah help me, and you sit down with your feet up. Al-isti'ana is when you're doing something and you ask Allah. And the next question, we gave some examples of isti'ana, right? Like the word isti'ana is used in the Quran and some examples in the Sunnah. I think we gave one example in the Sunnah and we gave a couple from the Quran. Who can remember? Who can remember some examples? The word isti'ana is used. We do it every day, like after Salah or after every Salah. What do we say? Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. So we actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us remember Him. Nice catch, mashallah, nice catch. We ask Allah to help us remember Him. So You know, this is actually an integral part of our aqidah as Muslims, is that you wouldn't be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is part of being humble as Muslims, is that, you know, you're only there, you're only here in the masjid worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's something that we seek assistance in. And we said, Yaqub alayhi salam, when he lost his kids, right? Sabrun Jameel. Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah is the one that you seek help from, right? Musa alayhi salam told Bani Israel, when Fir'aun said, I'm going to kill the children and take the wives, what did he say? قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, right? And so on. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. طيب. خلاص جميل جدا. So quickly, we'll go over the hadith. By the way, next week is the last part of our halaqa series. And I might bring a prize for someone who memorized the hadith. So if you memorize the hadith, I might have some nice, it's not a, like a dollar candy, inshallah, maybe something nicer. طيب. So عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. That's the first version. And the second version, احفظ الله تجده أمامك. احفظ الله, جزاك الله خير, بارك الله فيك. احفظ الله تجده أمامك. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. طيب جميل. So inshallah today we're going to be going into the kind of the almost the last part of the hadith about القضاء and القدر. طيب, if I say to you guys القضاء and القدر, what do you understand from that when I say القضاء and القدر? What idea does that bring to your mind when I say القضاء and القدر? القضاء والقدر. نعم. Destiny. نعم. What else? القضاء والقدر. نعم. جميل. Something that happens that it's out of our control. That's something interesting. We're going to discuss that. Is it totally out of our control? نعم. تفضل. So it's already written. Yeah. So something that's already written. What else? Huh? This is like one of the, anyways, one of those interesting topics. What else about al-qada al-qadr? Naam. Fate. Naam. Right. So this is an integral part. Is this something an integral part of our deen? What do you guys think? Huh? One of the pillars of iman. Yeah. And without this, your iman is not there. And we're gonna discuss that, inshallah. طيب. طيب, القضاء and القدر, right? And usually you heard the word قدر. Now, some of the ulama said that القضاء and القدر are the same thing. But let's quickly go over this is the text from the hadith. So there's three parts here about القضاء and القدر. So the first one, he said, and know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not benefit you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already يعني, written for you, prescribed for you. And if they were to gather, يعني, all the people, all the nations were to gather to harm you with anything, they would not be able to harm you except with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already prescribed for you, wrote for you. And then in the other narration, right, know that what has passed by was never going to afflict you, right? And what has befallen you was never going to pass you. طيب. These are very detailed parts of the hadith. And then he says, رفعت الأقلام. The pens have been lifted, وجفت الصحف, and the pages or the scribes have dried. يعني the ink has dried. Jameel, what does that all mean? Inshallah, we'll go through it part by part. First, let's talk about al-qada al-qadr. طبعاً, from a technical point of view, some of the ulama, they say that al-qada, it is Allah's creation of all things by His command and His will. It is Allah's creation of all things by His command and His will. His command, يعني amrullah, right? إِنَّمَا كَانَ أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah just says, kun, fayakun, right? That's His command. And his mashi'a, his will, right? وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً, right? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. So everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, right? So do we have a will? Question, just to get us thinking. Do we have a will? نعم, Allah just, I just mentioned the ayah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. So what does that mean? Inshallah, we'll talk about it. So we do have a will. طبعاً, that's part of believing in al-qada and al-qadr. So al-qadr, they say that it is Allah's complete knowledge. And this is important because this goes back to some of the ulama. They say there's if you understand these pillars of qadr, it will make sense to you, right? So part of it is that that Allah has complete knowledge of everything, right? This caused a lot of issues back in the day, and even now, where some groups kind of broke off from the traditional Sunni Islam, and they started saying things like Allah doesn't know what's going to happen, you know. And we have two groups, inshallah, we'll discuss them. So al-Qadr is Allah's complete knowledge. It is the writing in the safe tablet, al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, right? بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. This is al-Lawh al-Mahfuz that our brother Adil mentioned, that where everything has been written. And Allah's mashi'a and willing of all things before their existence. Allah's mashi'a for everything before it existed. طيب. So that's kind of what al-Qadr and al-Qadr is. Some of the ulama, like I said, they said that there's no difference. Jameel? طيب. Now, we have two extremes, two groups that misunderstood al-Qada and al-Qadr, and they took them to extreme. A group of them said that, خلاص, we are forced, مجبورين يعني, we are forced to do everything, right? And so they said that, خلاص, everything is, since everything was written, then everything, we have no choice. We have absolutely no choice. What's the name of that group? I used the word that comes from that group. From Al-Jabr. Al-Jabariyya. So Al-Jabariyya, they said that نحن مجبورين, يعني we are forced. And that's one of the biggest issues that some people have when it comes to Al-Qada and Al-Qadr. They say that we are forced, and we'll answer that question. If everything has been written, then what's the point of act of doing anything? Or are we? Do we have the choice to do anything? Jameel, that's a good question. And that's a question probably you have, and your child will come ask you if he hasn't already asked you about it. Tamam? And then the other group is who? They took it the other extreme. Right? They said that, oh, Allah, يعني, Allah doesn't know what's going to happen. يعني, we have 100% free will. Right? They were Al-Qadariyya. Right? Al-Qadariyya is the other extreme that said that. And actually, the belief in Al-Qada and Al-Qadr is part of the pillars of Iman. Who can tell me the six pillars of Iman? The six pillars of Iman. Yal. Bismillah. Al-Iman Billah. So the belief in Allah. Believe in angels, malakti, kutubi, books. Rusuli, the messengers. Wal-Yawm Al-Akhir. Naam. Ahsant. So the day of judgment and the predestination. Tafadl. You got your candy. طيب. Jameel. So belief in Qadr is part of the pillars of Iman. طبعاً, question, just a kind of a review for all of us here about the fundamentals of our deen. If someone doesn't believe in one of the pillars of Iman, would he still have Iman in his heart? Would he be a Muslim? They would not be a Muslim. And if someone says, Jameel, I believe in Allah and the books, I believe in the Day of Judgment, the angels, they don't make sense to me, I don't believe in them. Now, if he's 100% sure about that and he confirms that, then he has left Islam. Because that is one of the main fundamentals of Iman, Al-Iman. طيب. And interesting, of course, all of us know the hadith of... anyways, let's read. So, it is narrated on the authority of Yahya, and this narration is in Muslim. The narration in the 40 Nawawi hadiths is a different narration. But this one is actually interesting because it talks about Al-Qadariyya. So, it is narrated on the authority of Yahya ibn Ya'mur that the first man who discussed Qadr, yani defined decree, in Basra was Ma'bad al-Juhani. You might have heard his name, Ma'bad al-Juhani. He was the first one to talk about Al-Qadr, yani that we have 100% a free will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what's going to happen. So he said, I, along with Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman al-Himyari, set out for pilgrimage or for Umrah, and we met Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar. He's the son of Umar ibn Khattab, right? طيب, so they said to him, Ya Abu Abd al-Rahman. Abu Abd al-Rahman is who? It's Abdullah ibn Umar. So his son is Abd al-Rahman. So they said, Ya Abu Abd al-Rahman, there have appeared some people in our land who recite the Quran and pursue knowledge. And then after talking about their affairs, they claim that there is no such thing as divine decree. And events are not predestined. So this was a fitna that started in the time of Abdullah ibn Umar in Basra. Basra, where is Basra? Iraq. Jameel. طيب. All the problems start from Iraq. طيب. He, Abdullah ibn Umar, said, when you happen to meet such people, tell them. So Abdullah ibn Umar now is saying, when you happen to meet such people, tell them that I have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with me. And verily, they are in no way responsible for my belief. And they have nothing to do with my deen, with my religion. And then he swore by Allah and he said, لو أن أحدهم, if any one of them who does not believe in the decree, had with him gold equal to the mountain of Uhud. You've seen the mountain of Uhud. If they had gold the size of the mountain of Uhud and they spent it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be accepted. This is a big claim. If they gave a whole mountain of gold, the size of Mount of Uhud, in sadaqah, it would not be accepted unless they affirmed the belief in al-qadr. Right? And then he said, my father Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, told me, right? And the hadith, which hadith is this? Huh? One day we were sitting in the company of Allah, of the Prophet ﷺ, when there appeared before us a man. Huh? Hadith Jibreel, the famous hadith of Jibreel, when this man came, right? Who was dressed in nice white clothes, right? Nice black hair. But the interesting thing, nobody knows him. Which meant what? That he's a traveler. But he's nice and white, black, and everything nice and clean. So how does that make sense? Right? And then he would ask the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ would answer him. One of the answers he says, he asked him about al-Iman. And then the Prophet ﷺ answered, and he said that you affirm your faith in the divine decree, exactly what Abdul Hakim told us. So part of Iman is to have belief in al-qada, khayrihi wa sharrih, the good and the evil, the good and the evil. So now we have established that it is a major part of our faith, this belief in al-qada and al-qadr. And it's not enough to just say, I believe in it, right? It's not enough to just say, I believe in it. You have to believe in it the proper way. Right, because we saw that some people say we believe in qada qadar, but they understood it in one of the two extremes, which is unacceptable. طيب, جميل. Let's talk about the pen, because in the end of the hadith he says رفعت الأقلام. Qalam is a pen, right? There's a surah in the Quran called Surah Al-Qalam, right? Surah Al-Qalam. جميل. So the pen. What is the pen? Some of the ulama, they said that the first thing that was ever created was what? Was the qalam, right? And here in the hadith it says, رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. This gives you an image, right? What's the image that you get? There's some imagery here. It's like a metaphor. They call it or a kinaya in Arabic. What's the image you get from this? رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. The pens have been lifted. Huh? خلاص. So something was being written. Right? And now the khalas, just like when you write, right? Back in the day, you would write with the ink, the wet ink, and then khalas, now it's dried. It stays, right? So the writing has stopped, right? So referring to what? To al-qadr, right? And everything is dry, and it's not going to change. So this is a metaphor for the divine decree or the predestination. So everything has already been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part of our belief. And Abdullah ibn Umar, the same person, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says that كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. This is amazing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded the fates of all the khalaiq, all the creatures, 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth. خمسين ألف سنة. جميل. So whatever, there's nothing to worry about. Everything has been written 50,000 years ago. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and his throne was upon the water. So that's the first thing, that everything was written 50,000 years ago. There's a lot of hadith explaining exactly what happened, but one of them is this. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhuma, radiallahu anhu, he told his son, he says, O son, you will not get the taste of the reality of faith, of Iman, until you know that what has come to you could not miss you. That what has come to you was never going to miss you. Why? It's been written 50,000 years ago. And that what has missed you could not come to you. And whatever didn't come to you, you know, you're doing a business deal and it doesn't work. You will never have true faith until you believe that that was never going to come to you. That you shouldn't be sad that you missed it. You couldn't have done anything about it. We'll talk about how to understand that. He says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, the first thing Allah created was the pen. He said to it, Uktub, write. So then the pen asked, what should I write? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, write what was decreed about everything till the last hour comes. And so then he says, son, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who dies on something other than this does not belong to me. Is not part of my deen. So this is an integral part of the deen that we believe that the Qadr was written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So now the Prophet ﷺ tells Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? And understand, remember, Abdullah ibn Abbas is how old this time? How old is Abdullah ibn Abbas? What did we say? Is he 20, 30, 40? Is he a sheikh? Huh? Yeah, less than 15. He's a kid. He's a teenager. And so the Prophet ﷺ made sure that he understood this point. Tamam? So he said to him, know that what has passed you, right, was never going to befall you. What does that mean? What do you understand from that? What do you understand from that? What has passed you was never going to befall you. How do you understand that? Tafadhal.
Something never happened, it was never supposed to happen to you.
Jameel. So give me an example. I want you to give me an example just so we kind of you wanted to.
I failed a test, for example. I was never meant to pass that test.
Jameel, you failed a test. So after you fail it, okay, you should have certainty that there was nothing you could have done about it. That was going to happen. You were never going to pass it. Taban, we have to understand it properly, right? We're gonna talk about how to use qadr. Can use it as an excuse or not. So know that what has passed you was never going to befall you. Lish, because what happens with people, when they miss something, what happens? You become sad, upset. Oh, I wish if I did this, if I changed, right? And then people like say, oh, if only you listened to me and you, tamam? So these issues come. So this is part of the belief in al-qada al-qadr, that what has passed you was never going to befall you. Tamam? And know that what has befallen you was never going to pass you. Whatever came to you from harm or benefit was never going to miss you. If harm hit you and someone told you, oh, if you listened, no, it was going to hit you, Sahih? Tfadda.
So if somebody says these kind of things were bad, if I told you to study, you did not study, this happened to you, and you did that again, so that person is saying it wrong.
Say it again. Inshallah, we're going to talk about how do we use, are we allowed to use qadr as an excuse for something? Are you allowed to use, we're going to talk about that, inshallah. Abshir. Inshallah. Tayyib. So Imam Ahmad, he quotes the hadith of Abu Darda. He says, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةٍ. Right? Everything has a reality. وَمَا بَلَغَ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ وَمَا أَخْطَاهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. The same reaffirmation of what the hadith says, that a slave will never achieve the reality of Iman until he's certain and he knows that what has afflicted him was never going to miss him, and what has missed him was never going to afflict him. Whatever missed him, was never going to hit him, no matter what you changed. And this is always understood after, right? Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote these things before, but who knows about these things? Allah knows. Do you know about it? No, right? So the key thing to understand here about al-qada and al-qadr is that you act to what you see is best for you, right? So you don't say, oh, what if this was not meant for me? I'm not going to do it. Do you understand? This is a bad understanding. So someone might say, well, I want to, you know, get 100 in the test. Oh, but what if, so shaitan will come to you and be like, you probably, it's not written for you to get 100. So then you're like, khalas, I'm not going to get 100. Then you don't get 100. You see, I knew the qadr. No, that's not how it works, right? That's not how we understand this hadith. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. So no calamity, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ, a calamity, right? فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, right? On earth or in yourself without being written, yeah, فِي كِتَاب, yeah, in a record, before we bring it into being. So the exact thing what we said, this is the proof, يعني, for that one, is that everything was written before, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is inna dhalika ala Allah, inna dhalika ala Allah yaseer. This is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And طبعاً, this is another aspect of al-qadr, is that sometimes people they try to understand qadr from a human perspective, right? And so they'll say مثلاً that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preordained these things. It's written in the kitab, right? And so they say, because it's written in the kitab, what do people say? Then I'm going to have, yani, if it's written that I'm going to hellfire, it means I'm going to the hellfire, which is true. But does that mean that you just sit down and do nothing? Right? That's not what it means, right? And people try to understand al-qadr, but they don't understand that they don't have the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, you're trying to understand, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited by what? By time. Right? And so when we said about one of the pillars of Al-Qadr is that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future. Sah? Everybody agrees? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future, does that mean that He forced someone to do something? Yani, if I'm a teacher and I have students, right? And I know like 99.9% Fulan, this person is going to fail. Like, did I force him to fail if he actually fails? No, but I have the knowledge as a teacher who's, yani, generally, طبعاً, no human being has the full certainty of the al-ghayb, but sometimes you have the knowledge, right? From experience and other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us some knowledge, and so it doesn't mean I forced him, right? It's still his choice. For you cannot excuse yourself, okay, by trying to compare yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited by time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited by the past or the future or any kind of dimension that we are limited by. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explained. So why is this important, right? That it's written and that the believer understands that it was written, right? He says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting us know this so you don't grieve, you're not sad over what you missed. Understand this. So let's use an example. يعني انت, you were going for this, you were applying for this job, your dream job, huh? $200,000 a year, mashallah. طيب, you were hoping for this job. Okay, you did the interview, but you missed it. طيب, part of believing in qada al-qadr is what? How do you react to this? قَدْرَ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, meaning, huh? Should I be sad or happy or content or patient or cry or what? You accept it. So that's like the minimum. And that's part of al-qada wal-qadr. The belief in al-qada wal-qadr is that you accept it and to know, not just accept it, to know that you are never going to get it. And if you don't get it, now you understand you are never going to get it. That is part of al-qada and al-qadr, right? But you're always, as you're going through time, you push for what's best for you, right? But if you miss it, why is this important? Allah is saying, so you're not sad about it. And so you shouldn't be sad. Why shouldn't you be sad? Because you weren't going to get it. You didn't. Yani, because what's shaitan going to say? Oh, if you only shaved your beard. Right? Like some people say, if only shaved your beard, you know, they wouldn't have. Maybe because you had a beard and they thought you were like an extremist or something like that. And so, no. You know, that's not why. Right? This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِكَيْلْ مَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And to not be happy about something, right? Something that you that was given to you. Why? يعني, not to be like, oh, look at me, right? Because it was going to come to you anyways. It was going to come to you anyways, right? And this is important to understand because many times, you know, we sacrifice things that we were supposed to do, right? Our priorities. We sacrifice priorities. Why? Thinking that we can increase something, right? But it was already written for you. And you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And this is very important to understand when you're trying to prioritize, you know, how to use your time every day, right? Because sometimes people, what do? They will ignore, مثلاً, a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they will go commit a haram to try to what? To increase maybe their wealth, right? If you understand this hadith, is that understanding right or wrong? It's wrong. Why? Because whatever you were going to get, you were going to get it. So you don't have to go through the haram way to get it. Does that make sense? So this is a very important aspect for us to understand. Jameel. طيب. And then he says, know that. وَعْلَمْ. Right? That if the whole nation, right? This is a very powerful statement. يعني, you are one person. You're one person, ya Abdullah ibn Abbas. Okay? If everybody, all the Arabs, the Romans, the Persians, يعني, that time, يعني, were to gather, okay, to benefit you, okay, extra benefit that Allah didn't write for you, they cannot increase that benefit. Yeah, they cannot give you something extra. Okay? And that if they all gather to harm you, they will not harm you anything more than what Allah has written for you. So everything goes back to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this should give a person a lot of confidence and strength. Jameel. Yani, let's say you're going into a job interview, right? And sometimes they do these, we'll see with the job interviews. Anybody been in Naam? Naam, so explain how this is connected. So the example of Ibrahim, he was thrown in the fire. Jameel, mumtaz. So he gave the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire, right? So they built the biggest fire in history probably, right? And they tried to hurt him, but it was not written for Ibrahim to be hurt. So did the fire hurt him? Nope. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commended, excellent example. Jameel. So anybody here been in a group interview before? Anybody been in a group interview? Yeah? Yes. So it's a bit more nerve-wracking, right? It's a bit more stressful. So if you're going to an interview, they don't tell you it's a group, and then all of a sudden you see all these people. Should you be more scared? Huh? You should be more scared? Huh? Barakallahu feek. Yeah, because it's not going to increase anything or decrease anything. Right? Naam? Yeah, so you should have that confidence. Understand how this hadith is very, very beneficial. Until you go into an interview, right? And you're confident. It's me versus the interviewee or interviewer. Right? And then all of a sudden, there's like seven people. Right? And you're like, oh. So a person who doesn't understand this hadith will be like, oh no, now my chances went down. Are your chances down now? Zero. It's exactly the same. Your chances did not change. But this should give you confidence. When you go, or when you do whatever, you can use this as any example in your life. That you should have that confidence. And you bring in husnul dhan as well. Right? And you always have that husnul dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you move forward. Right? Now, whatever happens after, inshallah, then, like we said, if you miss it, you're still happy. Why? Because khalas, now you're like, you know what? This is the best situation for me, and it was never gonna come to me. And it didn't come to me because there's something better. I didn't get it because why? Because there's something better, right? And if someone lives like that his life, should he have any issues with sadness or regret or stress? Subhanallah. Like if you just understand this, the concept of al-qadr, Naam, we're going to come to the hadith. Yes, the affairs of the Muslim is always good. So we understand whatever happens to the slave of Allah in his worldly matters, whether harm or benefit, it is all destined for him. It's all predestined. And something that is, subhanAllah, like this hadith, I don't know why, like, whenever people read it, all they understand is that, khalas, I'm forced to do whatever I'm forced. Like, they just go to that. But now we kind of dissected it from another way, and you see how beneficial this hadith is. And something that is not written for him and not destined for him can never happen to him, even if all the creation together try to make it happen. You should have that yaqeen, and that should give you a lot of comfort and rest. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9, طبعاً Surah At-Tawbah talks about the Battle of Tabuk, just a background so we understand it. And the Battle of Tabuk was one of those difficult battles where they had to go fight the Romans in the hot summer heat of Arabia. Jameel. And Surah At-Tawbah talks about a lot about who? Who does it talk about? The hypocrites, barakallahu fik, al-munafiqun, right? And so they started making a lot of excuses, right? They didn't want to go to battle, right? And طبعاً, why don't they want to go to battle? Huh? They're scared of what? The heat or? They're scared to die, right? They don't want to die, صح? Yeah, they're scared. They don't want to go through the trouble, right? And they would come up with weird excuses. Like one of them said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ إِذَنْ لِي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي, right? Like, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm going to be trialed if I see any woman or something like that. It's going to be a trial for me, so I can't go out. Like, just weird excuses, right? And some of them said, oh, we have families. And some of them said, oh, we're hurt or we're sick, right? So the believers then replied to them and they said, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما أصابك من مصيبة لا وإذا أصابتك what's the ayah? Anyways, the ayah after it, they said, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. This is the believer speaking. That, نعم نعم إن تصبك حسنة تسؤهم بارك الله فيك إن تصبك حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبك مصيبة يفرح بها. No, that's another ayah. So basically, like, the hypocrites, when something good happens, they don't like it. When something good happens for the Muslims and the Prophet sallam, they don't like it. And if something bad happens, وإن تصبك مصيبة يفرح, they're happy. And then they're like, oh, alhamdulillah, we didn't go with them. Right? So then what's the reply of the true believer? قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Listen, whatever is going to come to us is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already wrote for us. Jameel? يعني it's going to come to us, it's going to come to us, right? And one of the nice things when you look at the tafaseer, they say, إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, okay, not عَلَيْنَا. And in the Arabic language, when you say لَنَا, it means for us, يعني for our benefit. But the believers understand that whatever Allah has written for them is for their benefit. What does that mean? يعني because sometimes the human being is limited to know of what is good and what is bad. صح? يعني we are limited. So, يعني, like we mentioned before, that you might say that, yeah, it's good for me to go for that job interview. From the ظاهر, from the obvious, right? But is it 100% sure that it's good for you? No, you don't know that. You cannot guarantee that. And that's why actually we pray istikhara. Right, that's why one of the reasons why we pray Salatul Istikhara is that to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy if it's good for us, right? And push it away if it's bad for us. Yeah. Look, this is, explains it even more. Right? In one of the battles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how he sent down the rain, right? And then he says, and then the hypocrites started saying, okay, the hypocrites started saying, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They have these evil thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Right? Do we have any say in the matter? يعني, do we have to go out? Can we just stay? Why? Why are they saying this? They don't want to go fight, right? They want an excuse to stay. And then the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكَ يَقُولُونَ لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ مَا قُتِلْنَا هَاهُنَا. يعني, if it was up to us, we would just stay so we don't get killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet to tell them, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Right? Tell them, O Prophet, even if you are to remain in your homes, the death will come to you. If it was written for you to die on August 12, 2023, whether you are in a battle or in the masjid, Whether you are in a fortress or you are driving on deer foot, you're going to die, you're going to die. This is what's understood here, right? And so even if you were in your homes, you would die, right? And this is an important thing to understand. طيب, جميل. So what do we benefit from this statement? Number one, everything that takes place in this universe happens by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should, what does that tell you? That you should only seek protection and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so if you understand that the whole nation, everybody, right? If everybody right now, the US, Russia, whoever, got together to hurt you, okay? They cannot increase anything more than what Allah has written for you. Jameel. So, should you fear them? Who should you fear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who should you ask for help? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Another thing we learn is that benefit or harm has already been ordained. Yani the benefit and the harm has already been ordained. Right? So, don't do something haram. And this is important, right? This is how to apply this in our lives. Don't do something haram to try to increase like a benefit or decrease a harm. This is a very important aspect. So, sometimes we do something haram. Why? Why would someone do something haram? Right? A lot of the times, like, let's take the example of like riba. Right? Why would someone get involved in riba? Huh? To what? To increase the money. Flus. Huh? To increase the money. Right? So, their understanding is that if I deal with riba, I will increase what? My wealth. Is that true? No. Sah? And so, you committing haram, did it increase your wealth? So you might see your account increase, but overall, it's not giving you more. Whether it's exactly by number, or whether it's by the barakah that money will be used for. You understand? And so you doing that haram does not increase, right? And you doing that haram does not decrease poverty or something like that. Yeah. So if you get into like riba, okay, is it going to decrease the chances of you becoming poor? Nope. Right? And this is so fundamental for a Muslim to understand. Meaning what? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never command you to do something haram, right? And then force you he would never command you to not to do something haram and then force you, put you in a situation to do it. Right? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا لَا وُسْعَهَا. Allah will not test you with something that you cannot, that you're not able to take care of, right? And do not leave something obligatory, okay? Like sometimes people will say, what? At work, you know what? I'll pray all my salawat after. I'll pray all my salahs after work. Just to increase my... Why? Why do they do that? Sometimes because they're scared. And sometimes why? They want to impress. They want to... Some worldly benefit. Sah? Some worldly benefit. Is it going to increase them if you leave your salah for later? Is it going to increase your chances of promotion? You have to have certainty in that. That you leaving the obligation of Allah, right? You not paying your zakah. Is that increasing the money in your bank? It's not. Sahih. So this is something, this is I think one of the biggest benefits we get from this statement. From this statement. Taib. Remember in the hadith he says, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ. Then he mentioned this. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ. If all the nations got together, right, to benefit you extra, they would not be able to. What's the connection between al-isti'ana and asking Allah and this? What's the connection? Who can find the connection? We kind of mentioned it, but it's good to understand the connection. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ is trying to build something for Abdullah ibn Abbas. What's the connection between al-isti'ana and then tell him that whatever happened, Allah already wrote it, and nobody can increase or decrease it. Yeah, exactly. So basically, you should only seek help from Allah. Because all this comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from the creation. The creation don't have any extra power. Your boss doesn't have any extra power. Yeah? Yani, who should you try to impress if you want a promotion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not the boss, because the boss doesn't really have power. Yes, in the dunya we sense, he has power, but his power goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the connection, right? The whole point of worship is to seek benefit and avoid harm, sah? To worship in general. Let's say somebody worships a statue. Why do they do that? Like they want to exercise, they want to like, they're bored. Why do they do that? Because they want to benefit something or remove harm. صح? Why do people worship graves? Why do people worship Jesus? Right? Because they think it's going to benefit them. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. I mean, why would you do that? So that's kind of the whole point. طيب, so if you know that all benefit and harm goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who should you worship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who should you be mindful of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who should you ask help for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's kind of the connection, right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ سُوَةَ الْأَنْعَامِ chapter 6, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. يعني if a harm touches you, who can remove this harm? Nobody except Allah. Nobody except Allah, and you should believe that, right? If a harm touches you, nobody can remove that except Allah. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if he touches you with a blessing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of everything. Is capable of, and many ayahs like this you will find in the Quran. طيب, some important questions about Al-Qadr. About Al-Qadr. And then if I don't answer all the questions that you have, inshallah we'll go to some. طيب, so we talked about Al-Qadr and Al-Qadr, predestination. طيب, so the common question is, if everything is already written, what's the point of taking action? Ya salam. Yalla, somebody comes to you, your son comes to you, your daughter comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, you told me that everything is written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Okay, so if everything is written, what's the point of doing anything? Ah, Bismillah.
You have to go find out what's written.
Huh? So you're saying you have to go find out what's written. Jameel, why do people ask this question? Ah, تفضل. Jameel, because they're curious. صح, kids are curious and everybody's curious. Jameel, but why specifically? Huh? They want to use it as an excuse for what? Huh? Laziness, but they want to use it as an excuse for what? Is it used for something like, if I'm going to Jannah, why should I do anything? What is it used for usually? For the opposite, for Jahannam. So people usually use this excuse and say, if I'm already destined for Jahannam, huh? Then there's no point for me. You understand that question? If I'm already, if it's already written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz right now that, you know, let's make up a name. Joe Smith, okay? I don't know who that is. If Joe Smith, it's written that he's going to the hellfire. So why should Joe Smith do anything? Huh? So because you don't know what's written, right? And because it's written, does it mean that it was forced? So the problem with this question actually goes back to the question. And this is the problem the Jabariya had, because they say because Allah has written it and knows that it's going to happen, it means that we're being forced. And those are two separate things. And we mentioned this before, right? We said that just because somebody knows about what's going to happen, it doesn't mean that you were forced, right? And so that has nothing to do with it. Just because it was written, it doesn't mean that it was forced. Right? So if somebody knows that something was going to happen, like the example of the teacher, it doesn't mean that he forced the kid. Tamam? طيب. Jameel. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that while the Prophet was in a janazah, he took a stick and started scraping the earth with it and said, there is none of you but has his place assigned either in hell or in paradise. Jameel. In another hadith, the Prophet came out and he had two books in his hand and he said, do you know what these books are? And they said, what, O Prophet of Allah? He said, in these books, one book has all the names of the people by their name and their father, who's going to be in the hellfire. And in the other book, it has the names of every person by their name and their father and who's going to be in the paradise. So what's the obvious question that you're going to ask, or the Sahaba would ask? Huh? What's the obvious question? So they said, shall we not depend upon that? Yani, should we just sit and do nothing? If you take that logic, you know, sometimes like you should try your logic because it just doesn't make sense. What does that mean? If you say, shall we just depend on that? So people say, oh, then there's nothing for us to do. So khalas, yani, you just sit down and die on the floor there, yani, on the wall. You just sit there for like the next, how long can a person live? Like 3 weeks, 4 weeks? You just sit there until you die? Yani, is that what you're trying to say? Obviously not, right? Obviously not. And people use this always for what? For Jahannam. As an excuse. But they don't use it for what? For making money, enjoying their life, and, oh, I'm being forced to have fun. Nobody uses that. And so this is a trap of shaitan to use al-qadr as an excuse that, so if I end up in the hellfire, I have an excuse. And the ulama say, if this was a valid excuse, then there would be no point of sharia. There would be no point of messengers. There would be no point of books, right? Iblis would be at the end of time and then be like, oh Allah, take me out of the hellfire because you already wrote down that I'm going to be in the hellfire, i.e. you forced me, which is absolutely the incorrect understanding. So they said, shall we not depend upon that? Yani the qadr. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, carry on doing good deeds, for everybody will find it easy to do such deeds as will lead him to his destined place for which he was created. Jameel. So what's the point of this? And then he recited the ayat in Surah Al-Layl. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى What? فَسَنُيَسِرُ الْيُسْرَى. Very nice, yeah? Whoever, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, whoever gives in charity and has taqwa, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, right? And he believes in that ajr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. What? Allah will what? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will what? Make that easy, straight path easy for him. The right path. And then what's the other? وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. So it's very clear that this goes back to who? To the person. It's very clear that it goes back to the person. So everybody should do, okay, and then things will happen. Things will take place. And obviously the smart person will do what? What's good for him? Sahih? And that's the importance of having that iman. Tafadda. We're going to talk about that, inshallah. Did you see my slides? I think that's the next question. Yes, subhanAllah. Okay. MashaAllah. What's the point of making dua? See, he knew the future. What's the point of making dua? Jameel. Huh? Jameel. But there's a hadith that says what? Yeah, the dua what? Can change the qadr. Uh-oh, so we have a problem now, right? Or what? Who can explain that? I think I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago. What's the problem now? We have a hadith that says dua can change qadr. And then we have something that says 50,000 years ago it's all been written. So al-lawh al-mahfuz, so there's kind of two tablets, right? So the ulama, they mentioned that there's kind of, the way we understand it, it does, is that, remember that in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي what? في ليلة القدر, right? ليلة القدر, okay, that's mentioned in Surah Al-Qadr. This is the night where what's in the lawh al-mahfuz comes down to the lawh of the angels, right? And so there's two kinds of qadrs if you think about it, right? So the ulama, they say that we have something called al-qadr al-mubram, right? That goes back to al-lawh al-mahfuz, right? That goes back to اللوح المحفوظ. And then we have القدر المعلق, right? المعلق يعني معلق والدعاء, يعني that is dependent on دعاء. What does that mean? يعني there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for you in the لوح المحفوظ that will happen no matter what. Remember we said that if the whole nation came to increase you in something, they will not give you more than what Allah wrote. And if everybody got together to harm you in something, they will not harm you more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wrote for you. Okay, but within that, there are things that are connected to dua. Yani, there are things that can come your way if you ask for them. And there are things that you can push away from yourself if you ask Allah to protect you from them. Okay, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ra'd, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهُ وَخَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So here, these angels that are there to protect you, every person has angels protecting them, right? They're protecting you from what? Right, they're protecting from these things that you asked to be protected from. But when the Sahaba explained this this ayah, they said, "But if the qadr comes, the one that will not change comes, then they cannot stop it." You understand now? So there are things, and that's why we make dua, and that's why you should make dua. Yeah, the Sahaba said, "Idan falnukthir." So if that's the case with dua, that if you make dua, what happens? One of three things. Who can tell me? I need to get rid of this candy, huh? So either it's accepted, if you make dua, either it's accepted. Yani, oh Allah, give me 2023 BMW. Either, yani, Allah will give it to you. Tayyib. What else? Huh? Naam? Or he will push away harm. Tayyib. He wants candy too. See, when I took out the candy, he just... Khalas. Or, oh, bismillah. Oh. طيب. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will push harm away from you, or He will save it for يوم القيامة. What's the best out of all those three, by the way? The third one. And which is the one that we don't like the most? Let's be honest. Yeah, the third one, because you want to see something يعني happen. Like, and part of Iman is that all this is good. So technically, it's a win-win-win situation. It's a win-win-win situation. So then that's why the Sahaba said, then we should make dua all the time. So really, like, dua is free, right? Naam? Yeah, إني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer, right? And so it doesn't, يعني that's why you should never say, why didn't Allah reply to me? This is a very يعني bad etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you say, why didn't Allah reply to me? Until you make dua and you move on. Tamam? We have prophets, right? Who didn't get a child until they were like, يعني gray hair. Yeah? Who's that? Ibrahim was old, yeah. Who else? The example, the Zakariya, صح? Yeah, Zakariya, how old was he? اشتعل الرأس شيبة, like his hair, like, is all white, right? And he didn't have a child. And then he says, and then he saw, like, Maryam alayhi salam, you know, having, she's in a room, and nobody's bringing her food, but she has food, out of season. And so he's like, where'd you get all this from? قل هو من عند, yeah? It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So يعني, he got really motivated and he said, خلاص, then even if I'm old, I can still get a child. Yeah. So he هنالك دعا زكريا ربه, oh Allah give me a child, and then Allah gave him يحيى, right? Subhanallah. طيب, جميل. So now we understand. So there's dua, you should do it, because dua can bring you khair and can remove harm from you. صح? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ra'd, يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت وعنده أم الكتاب. Right? And so Umm al-Kitab, meaning the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz, right? And يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَثْبِتْ, يعني meaning those tablets with the angels that can be changed, right? Ibn Hajar, when he commented on this hadith, he said, what proceeds from the knowledge of Allah does not change and is not replaced, right? That which is allowed to change and be replaced is what appears to people of the deeds of the doer. Thus, it falls under wiping away and affirming, which is mentioned in the ayah, such as the increase and decrease in lifespan, right? The Prophet ﷺ told us that there's some things that can increase your lifespan. And there's some things that can increase your rizq and decrease your rizq, right? Those are the things that are mu'allaq. They are mu'allaq according to your dua. As for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not wiped away or affirmed, as all knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that answer your dua? Who had the question about dua? Does that answer your question? Yeah. Jameel, طيب, alhamdulillah. Okay, let's finish with this. Can we blame Al-Qadr for our actions? Huh? يعني someone, he doesn't come to Salah, he doesn't pray. He says, Allah wrote for me, make dua for me. Can we do that? Huh? طب, can we or can we not? Huh? No? طيب. Can we use Qadr as an excuse at all? Or blame Qadr? أكيد, nobody has, huh? Huh? Four? طيب, huh? تفضل. No, so right now, you're saying right now it's he can use it. يعني he's saying, oh, خلاص, I'm not praying because it's Qadr. Can you say that? Huh? This is very, it smells like shaitan, right? طيب. So, let me tell you about an incident that happened between Musa and Adam alayhi salam. طبعا, Musa and Adam alayhi salam, they never actually met on this earth. But they actually met, and so, anybody know the story? Huh? So this is mentioned in the books of hadith, that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned that the Prophet said that Adam and Musa argued with each other. Jameel. And so Musa, طبعاً Musa is after Adam, right? Adam is the first, right? And what happened to Adam? Huh? What happened to Adam? Yeah, so he fell into the trap of Shaitan. And because of that, he was taken away from Jannah, right? So Musa's like, Musa says to him, yeah, oh Adam, you are our father who disappointed us and turned us out of paradise. يعني you are the one يعني to blame for all of Bani Adam, right? All the sons of Adam that were not in Jannah, right? طب, let me ask you, is that a fair accusation? And we do that sometimes with people, right? So we say, oh, look, you know, it's your fault you're like this. It's your fault you're like this, right? طبعاً, there is an aspect of it that is true. But what do you guys think about this? Huh? What's a good reply to that? Huh? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. طيب, how does that help Adam? Does this help Musa or Adam? Who are you helping with the debate here? So the action was Adam. يعني it was his choice. جميل. طب look what he says. Okay, Adam said to him, عليه السلام. He said to موسى عليه السلام. He says, "You are the one that Allah سبحانه وتعالى يعني favored with his song. Allah سبحانه وتعالى spoke to وكلم الله موسى تكليما. Right? He talked to him directly, and he wrote the Torah for you with his own hand. So he says, "Do you blame me for action which Allah had written in my fate 40 years before my creation?" So now Adam is saying to Musa, are you going to blame me for something that was already written? So what's Adam doing here? He's using Qadr, right? He's saying, are you blaming me for something that was written? Ah, طيب. So we have to understand this properly, right? So so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَحَجَّ آدَمَ مُوسَى يعني Adam beat Musa in the argument. Adam defeated Musa in the argument. He said this 3 times. طيب, what do we understand from this? Okay, help me out here. So you guys don't understand the wrong understanding. What do we understand from this? It's like, I think Maghrib is like this. So we have to be very specific here. We can use Qadr when? Huh? So three rules. Just keep this in mind, and inshallah it'll be clear. Rule number one, you can use al-qadr for something that afflicted you, and it's gone. Sah? Something that afflicted you, and it happened, you can use qadr for that. There's no problem. Khalas, it already happened, right? You can use qadr for something, for a sin that you were doing, and you made tawbah from. يعني مثلا, someone used to drink for 10 years, drink alcohol, right? And then, you know, he's having a chat with somebody, and then, you know, he says to him, yeah, I used to drink. And then he says, oh, how long did you drink? He said, 10 years. He says, subhanAllah, 10 years? He can say, well, that's what Allah wrote, subhanAllah. He can use it now, adi, because Allah wrote it for him, okay? But now he's made tawbah from it. Why is this important? This is not just semantics, yani. This is just to make it sound nice. Because if you use it the other way, before it happens, or while you're doing it, then that's an excuse to keep doing it. And that's why you're not allowed, right? You're not allowed to use it, okay, if you're committing a sin as an excuse, right? So you're not allowed to say, I'm not praying because Allah wrote it for me in the 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Does that make sense? So when can you use qadr? You can use qadr for something that happened to you, a musibah, right? You know, I got hit by a car. That's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, maybe if you took extra driving lessons, khalas, habibi, Allah wrote it for me. Allah wrote it for me, right? You can use qadr for that, right? There's no problem with that. You can also use it for something that you used to commit a sin and you made tawbah from it. Allah tested me with it. It doesn't make you a bad person. Understand that. Okay, yani, a person committed zina, right? Now he made tawbah from it. This was the qadr of Allah. Yani, it was going to happen to me anyways. When can you say that? You cannot say now, oh, what if it's written for me to commit zina? Let me go commit zina. You can't do that, right? This is shaytani yani waswasa, right? طيب. But you cannot use it for a sin that you're committing. So if someone is missing salah, you cannot say, oh, it's probably qadr, right? No, this is your choice, habibi. Okay? You can only talk about qadr after something takes place. Inshallah, next week we'll be finishing the hadith. We're going to talk about al-rida. Yeah, contentment with al-qadr. Because now qadr happens, so what are we supposed to do, right? Do we have to be patient, okay? Do we have to be content with it? Those are two levels, right? Right? Why should we be content? Why should we be patient? Which one is wajib? Which one is recommended, right? And then we'll talk about the ending of the hadith where the Prophet says that that victory comes with patience, right? And that relief comes with grief, right? So they're connected together. And ease comes right after difficulty, right? Inshallah. Bi-idhnillah. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, we'll stop there. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Question?